Good afternoon. Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch with me, Jisoo Ki. Hope you are well and healthy, taking care of yourself, your neighbors, and your loved ones. Grateful that you're with us. Let's get started right away. Check in with our markets expert, Terry Savage. Hi, Terry.
Hi, and in the interest of news, just breaking as Orion was on, and I'm sure he didn't see it, the UAW, United Auto Workers, called for a two-week closing of the big three auto plants to give you an idea of the economic impact. Now, they might have had to close anyway for lack of parts, but European auto manufacturers, of course, shut down. Now the UAW asking the automakers to shut down. So this is spreading wildly.
Terry, what do you think about what the Treasury Secretary said about Americans needing cash now and that they hope to get cash into Americans' hands for the next 2 weeks? I know that that is what you were saying needed to happen.
Yeah, he said this. First of all, the three things Mnuchin said had to do with, number one, the most important, which doesn't seem important to us ordinarily, is the Fed was going to stand up there and back the commercial paper system in this country, money market mutual funds, either by Treasury securities or IOUs from short-term, very short-term, overnight even, IOUs from commercial companies that fund their financing. There was a threat of a breakdown on that. So, number one, the banking system and the money market system are made liquid by the Fed. That was really important. The other thing is a postponement potentially of your tax payments, not your return, but if you owed money, you will have an extension with no interest to pay the taxes, putting more people in the hands. Now, the third one is critical. I know we're short of time here. The question is, how do you, first of all, if it's a $1,000 bill, Andrew Yang's picture should be on it. Because I laughed, everybody laughed when he said, let's write everyone a check. Here we really are about to maybe do that, but the question is how. Think of all the unbanked. Think of all the people that don't have a credit card, maybe food stamps card, maybe other ways. But the difficulty is getting this money actually into the hands without fraud of the people who really need it, not the wealthy people to whom this won't mean much, but to the people who lose their jobs that are hourly workers. So if they do this, the challenge is going to be how to get it done.
And of course, time is of the essence in terms of this universal wage were it to happen, right, Terry?
Well, this is not a universal wage. This is meant to be a one-time payment.
Yes, but a type of, because I know that's what...
Yeah, you know what I'd like to link it to? They should link it to the Census Bureau. We'd get them both done at once. It's done online. You complete your Census Bureau and give us an address, and we'll mail you a check. That's the kind of thing. It's going to be very difficult to get the money out there, but their hearts and minds are in the right place anyway. We're beyond, let me just say this, we're beyond where the stock market goes now. Mm-hmm. We are really into not only where the economy goes, but our social fabric of our country. So I'm not sitting here commenting on buy or lower, stocks are up or down. We're a little bit past that now. You're down 30%. We're going to live with that for a while and maybe even a little bit more.
It's more about taking care of each other and getting through this, right?
Exactly. We've moved past what is your balance in your 401k. I hope you have liquidity, and that will let you sleep at night, but help your neighbor.
I'm sorry that we don't have time for questions today, but you are back on the show tomorrow, and we will take questions for sure. So be sure to check out terrysavage.com, and of course, on her website, you can always ask her a question directly. Just at the top of the website webpage, it says Ask Terry. Thanks, Terry. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. Talk tomorrow. We'll have more time.
Absolutely. So many companies are having to pivot, especially in light of coronavirus. And also so many companies are having to do remote working and working from home. Joining us now is Ink Factory co-founder and CEO, Dusty Fall-Warzny. I hope I said it right.
No worries.
Yeah, she is joining us. And Ink Factory is a really cool company. You guys started in 2011, and you basically empower organizations to communicate visually. Can you explain that a little further for us?
Yes, definitely. So our mission is to create visual experiences that inspire and engage. And often we work in conferences or brainstorming sessions and meetings. And what we do is we listen to the information and we're up at the front of the room and we draw it out visually in a way that we believe inspires and engages.
And you may have run into them at different conferences, different events around town, but you guys travel all over. Like I said, Fortune 100 companies, you work with nonprofits as well. But I'm assuming, of course, a lot of business is a little bit slower, especially with so many cancellations of events and conferences and everything that's going on.
Yeah, that's true. We definitely have had, clients pivoting their events and everything, you know, to keep everybody safe. And that's, of course, you know, what we're interested in as well. But we're also pivoting our offering to help enable people that are working from home and enable people that still need to connect virtually, because we still believe that using the visual language is the way to help engage and make those moments online more memorable and accessible.
Before we talk about how you're connecting businesses that are having to work remotely and from home, let's talk a little bit about your reaction and your co-founder's reaction to coronavirus. At what point did you guys say, okay, let's go back to the drawing board, we need to literally and figuratively, and think mm-hmm. of something new?
Yeah, so, you know, we definitely were monitoring everything, and my two co-founders, Lindsay and Ryan, are actually much better at watching the news than I am. But, you know, about 2 weeks ago was when we started to think about how we can really support companies that need to connect and support our team, you know, as everybody's anxieties and outlook, you know, it's a different world than it was 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, last week. So how can we make space to listen to everybody and their concerns for our team, and then, you know, allow everybody to work from home, and then how do we connect as a team? But then also for our clients, how can we support them as they're navigating, you know, a very unusual situation as well?
So, Dusty, normally you would send an artist to a location, mm-hmm. to wherever a conference is happening or a business meeting is happening, and then the artist would set up physically in the space where the meeting is happening and then draw on a giant whiteboard or several of them. And then later those whiteboards are placed on the wall, and then everyone, the employees and people that were in the meeting and weren't in the meeting, can then just visually look at it, and it's visual notes. It's really refreshing compared to just written notes. So how are you guys doing this now virtually?
Yeah, that was a great explanation, G. Thank you. So virtually, you know, people connect online, and we do the video chats and conference calls all the time in the normal workplace. But now everybody's, you know, in a pressure cooker to do that even more so. So we're relying on different platforms like Zoom, like Google Hangouts, or any kind of, you know, platform to listen still to people's conversations. And we're able to draw those digitally using our technology and our tablets, and that can be shared with everyone if they have a screen sharing capability. So imagine right now, I've got one of my artists that's actually drawing what we're talking about right now that we'll share on our social media after this segment, so that people can see and understand exactly what we're talking about. But essentially, the skill of listening, synthesizing, and then drawing in words and pictures to create an engaging visual is the same. We just don't have that benefit of, you know, being live in a room, but we can do it virtually.
Well, it makes sense, especially with social distancing and wanting everyone to stay safe. Mm-hmm. And we'll be sure to mm-hmm. share that visual note as well on our website, wgnradio.com. And where can companies reach out to you if they would like to participate and also have you help them make their meetings more efficient and do this visual note taking?
Yeah, so our website is inkfactorystudio.com, and our contact page, you can fill out whatever you're interested in, and our sales team will get back to you as soon as possible. But also on our blog, we have a lot of different tips and tricks about working visually. And if you want to try doing visual notes on your own, there's a wealth of information on our website. And we're happy to connect, you know, on a phone, however you want to.
It might be a little hard to understand, but so many people are visual learners. I have to tell you, just being able to look at a diagram with words and mm-hmm. pictures, it really does succinctly put together everything that happens in a meeting. And it's really refreshing and awesome and a different take on notes.
Yeah, you know, the brain processes visual 60,000 times faster than text. And people remember 10% of what they hear, but 80% of what they see. So by employing the visual language, it just helps everybody collaborate, share ideas, and solve problems faster.
Dusty Falwarsny, she's the founder and CEO of InkFactoryStudio.com. Check out their website. I think we need you more than ever now with all of this remote working and working from home and social distancing. Thanks so much, Dusty.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on. We appreciate it. Bye.
A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. Let's pivot a little bit. Of course, we've been worrying about all the restaurants and bars that have also had to pivot in terms of business model. Joining me now is Kevin Hickey. He is a longtime Chicagoan, proud Southsider from Bridgeport, and his restaurant is called Duck Inn. How are you doing, Kevin?
Well, we're soldiering on. Yeah. You know, trying to keep our heads above water.
Of course, you're one of the chefs that is asking state representatives and the state government to help out. And what are you guys hoping for?
Well, you know, our first and foremost concern is our employees. The majority of them are out of work. You know, are nervous and scared and, you know, are going to have to pay some bills coming up soon. So right now we are we're providing a family meal to them every day, which we've always done. And during regular hours, so we'll still provide them with dinner every day. And we started a GoFundMe page to help them defer some of their bills and cost of living. And we're going to be selling our T-shirts and hats and online, along with anything you want to order from Grubhub or Uber Eats as far as food or drinks go. And all the profits from the sale of our merchandise will go to our staff as well. And then after that, you know, our next concern is how do we maintain and stay open? Delivery and pickup is great, and it's great that they've allowed us to do that. And I want to thank the mayor for also allowing us to sell beer and wine through our delivery systems and pickup. But, you know, many restaurants like the Duck Inn, delivery is not an integral part of our business. So even if I increase delivery by 10 times, it doesn't really have a big impact on my revenue. Now, these are different times. People are going to be ordering more for delivery and pickup, which is great. But we're going to need help beyond what we've seen thus far. So what we're hoping for is anything and everything they can help us with, deferring mortgage payments, tax abatements, letting us out of employment tax and payroll tax and sales tax even. For as long as possible to see what we can do to weather through this.
There was this statement that all the chefs have been posting asking of the governor and state leaders to expedite help. Have you guys heard anything? What has been the response when you make the phone calls and try to find out what's going on?
Well, we've been working hand-in-hand with the Illinois Restaurant Association, Sam Toy, and Mary Kay Bonoma. They're really great advocate for the restaurant industry, and I know Sam is talking with he's very, very involved with the mayor and with the governor, and we know that they've heard us, and we're just waiting to hear what their response is. I know that they are also waiting on federal response because it's all tied together. It's not as simple as it sounds, and it's when the president declares a national state of emergency, a lot of things kick in. And I caught some of the press conference today with the effort to get money into Americans' hands immediately, which is really great and really appreciated. But like I said, I know that state, county funds and things like that are tied to that. So I know that they're waiting for exact and clear direction, and then I'm hoping that they'll be able to give us some exact and clear direction on, you know, relaxing or changing or suspending some of the unemployment application processes for people so that they can start getting unemployment much faster than they normally would. You know, we're only one day into this, really, so it is new territory. You know, some places don't have a payroll for another 2 weeks, so some people just got paid. Some people are getting paid at the end of this week. Some people aren't getting paid for 2 weeks, so you know, it's all up in the air.
Even as
our customers, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Even as difficult as it is to imagine 2 weeks, I know that the chefs and restaurant owners were saying, you know, 2 weeks is one thing, but thinking about a potential of 2 months is a whole other situation.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, 2 months will be catastrophic on so many levels. What exactly does unemployment mean for people? Does it mean 50%, 50, 55% of their income? If you're a tipped wage employee and you're earning the vast majority of your income off of tips, unemployment doesn't cover that. So for on the front lines of the people, that's who's going to get hit first and hardest. And then when you start looking at the small business owners like myself, which I am a very small business owner, you start going on beyond 2 weeks with zero revenue coming in the door, and I don't know what kind of expenses I'm going to have. You know, I'm still paying for, you know, basic utilities. You have rent, you have mortgage, you have unemployment insurance, you have health care insurance. You have so many costs. I mean, when at the end of the day, a restaurant, you know, I the vast majority of people who go to restaurants just don't even remotely comprehend that, you know, a restaurant runs on a, you know, most restaurants run on a 20, high 20s to 30% food cost, a mid-20s beverage cost, a 30% labor cost, 6% occupancy cost, 5% supplies and packaging cost. And, you know, you don't have to be as bad at math as I am. Those numbers just came out to about 85, 90%. And I'm not throwing in the fact that, you know, maybe you need a new roof, or maybe you need maybe your pipes froze because of the winter, and now you throw another 5-10% in repairs and maintenance, and you're sitting somewhere around 2-4% profit. Mm-hmm. So how much money is in the bank for a small business owner with a complete cessation of business operations and zero revenue coming in the door?
Well, we're hearing about being able to order curbside and takeout, and that's if you have the logistics and capability of doing that, and that's one way we can support you. Also, you said that you have a GoFundMe page. This is something I've noticed a lot of bars and restaurants doing now, and it's a virtual way that people that want to support you can tip restaurant workers.
Absolutely, yeah. Go to our GoFundMe page is the Duck Inn. Family love and support, and we're trying to raise as much as we can to give it right back to our employees. And people can go there and make sure that our employees that aren't working can get some relief. And then, as you said, you know, we're doing, luckily for us, you know, we were smart a while back and we got set up on all the delivery systems. We don't really, you know, we're not a delivery heavy kind of place, but we're already there. We're already on Grubhub and Uber Eats and Caviar, and soon to be on DoorDash. So you can get on there. You can. We expanded our menus. You know, with the closure of Time Out Market, we have another 15, 16 employees coming out of that situation where we had two concepts, Duck Inn Dogs and Decent Beef. We're going to incorporate people's favorites from those two concepts into our online ordering and pickup options. So you can get our version of an Italian beef sandwich, or you can get some cool Duck Fat hot dogs, in addition to a lot of our favorites from the Duck Inn. And a lot of people are doing that, and I think it's awesome. It's, you know, but how long we can maintain on that that only stream of revenue is questionable.
Well, Kevin, hang in there to you and your team and everybody in the industry. We're sending you lots of love, and we'll also send some money your way as well and support you.
So thanks so much, Jean. Really appreciate you giving us a voice and spreading the word.
We'll check back in with you, okay? Hang in there.
Thanks, pal. Take care.
Winter's Business Lunch. Joining us now is WGN Radio's very own Amy Guth. Hi, Amy.
Hi, G. How are you today?
Very good. You are also doing a little bit of remote work.
Yes, that's right. I have all my things set up here at home, but making it all work, that's the time for this, right? We're all kind of like doing our best and making things work with the hand that we've been dealt right now.
Absolutely. That's been the mandate here to keep everybody safe is that, you know, if you don't have to be in the studio or in the offices, then you shouldn't be.
Yes, that's right. And so there's a lot of that going around. A lot of companies are making a lot of decisions. Of course, I've been watching the economic impact of all these decisions very, very closely. And of course, we saw earlier that Discover Card had taken a very, very large loss yesterday, over $4 billion in value loss from Discover. So I'm really closely tracking those numbers and what that looks like. But I think it's been very, very interesting to watch how some other industries are tweaking and adjusting. One of those is the newly legalized marijuana industry. So some thinking went into effect really quick there, and some tweaks to the law happened so that not recreational users, but medical marijuana users can now have, you could pull up to the curb, because previously the transaction had to happen on the property of the dispensary. So they've tweaked that a little bit. And one thing that had to happen is your ID had to be scanned. And so you don't have to physically hand over your ID to the worker. You can just hold it up. Someone could come up to the curb, scan your ID, and sell the marijuana that way. For recreational users, there's been some experimenting, Green Thumb Industries and Cresco Labs. Both are playing with, you know, what does that look like to do online orders? So they're both offering that to minimize the amount of time that someone would be standing in line, because a lot of these dispensaries, and just in the last couple of days, people have been tweeting about, I think people are kind of trying to stock up for, you know, if they're going to be at home for a while. So you could order online and it's there ready. So you can just kind of walk in, get your ID scanned, and then head out. So you wouldn't have to be, you know, there in the facility for so long, and you could help practice some of that social distancing. So I think that's been kind of interesting. I'm also very closely watching McDonald's. So the corporate stores, you know, of course, all the restaurants in the state have had to close down, but a lot of restaurants are offering delivery. So McDonald's has, they're offering drive-through, takeout, and delivery at the corporate stores. And they've asked their franchisees to make some decisions as well. There are far more franchisees than there are corporate restaurants. There's over 13,000 here in the U.S. So there's a lot of decisions there about, you know, what that means and what that looks like. But McDonald's is also considering deferring rent for the franchisees, which I think will be really important to watch.
So, Amy, General McDonald's mandate of, you know, do everything curbside or for just takeaway isn't going to necessarily apply to all the franchisees?
Well, that's going to happen to everybody, but it, McDonald's, because that's what the governor has, you know, the governor said, all the restaurants in Illinois have to go to that. But the franchisees have to make that decision for themselves or what that's going to look like. Because maybe not all of them could support delivery in every single community in Illinois. So franchisees are making that decision. Some of them will probably just close outright. And in that case, that's why McDonald's is taking a look at that rent deferral for franchisees.
Okay, fascinating.
It's a lot. You know, there's a lot of areas there because we're even seeing like dentists and optometrists and ophthalmologists saying, hey, if it's not an emergency, let's do this another time. My own dentist included, I had a dentist appointment scheduled for next week and they gave me a call. I had totally forgotten. They gave me a call yesterday and said, yeah, we're not doing that for a teeth cleaning. We're going to wait, which is totally understandable. I think it's been really interesting, though, to kind of shift back to the restaurant piece of that, to watch that, how that reaction has been. You know, when Governor Pritzker made that call, he said, I'm making decisions between a bad option and a less bad option. Mm-hmm. We have to kind of play with the hand that we're dealt right now to protect people and save lives, especially from the most vulnerable of our population. But of course, the restaurant industry said, okay, fine. Now, what are you going to do to support us? Chef Rick Bayless, you know, big prominent figure here in Chicago, of course, in the restaurant scene, he right away said, okay, what are you going to do? You need to offer some, you know, help with for people to pay rent. You need to help people. You can't just cut them off, because basically overnight, over 600,000 restaurant workers in the state of Illinois essentially lost their jobs. So there are still a lot of restaurants that are offering delivery and takeout. But if you're just a bar and you don't sell food, you essentially had to close down overnight. So Alinea, local restaurant, they're offering $1,000 for every full-time worker, just kind of a stipend right now to keep them going, and $500 a week for every part-time worker. So some restaurants are kind of taking that already. I talked with someone in Washington State who said, you know, here, all the restaurants, some of them closed down way ahead of that call just to kind of get out ahead of it and make some deals with their workers. So I think it's very interesting to see how restaurants are dealing with that. I suspect there will be a lot more conversation ahead about how that's going to play out in terms of support.
Yeah, we just talked to Chef Kevin Hickey, who owns Duckman in Bridgeport. And, of course, he has started a GoFundMe page as a virtual way that you can tip people and tip your favorite restaurants. And it turns out that a ton of restaurants, a ton of bars, if you have a favorite, if you Google them, there's probably a GoFundMe or a crowd source funding happening for them right now. Of course, the restaurants that could pivot and did have the logistics and the ability to go to delivery did. And if you're interested, just take a look, because there are a lot of people offering really special deals. I know that Pacific Standard Time, which is here down in River North, they're offering, you know, a $40 family meal for four. And you just pull up to the curb and they'll run it out to you. So lots of interesting deals going on and trying to be creative in terms of trying to support our restaurants. But it's really cool what Alinea did. But of course, they probably have the money to do that. And a lot
of
these
probably have the money to do that.
Yeah, and a lot of these other small restaurants and bars don't have that money. So
There is there's a piece that I tweeted yesterday from the Chicago Reader about a website called Dining at a Distance that will tell you what restaurants are open for delivery and carry out right now. That's a really, really great resource that people may want to take a look at.
Well, thank you so much, Amy Guth, for keeping us up to date on all the closures. Really appreciate it. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.